Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And that is right here on a beautiful Saturday morning. We are here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kevin Walsh, I'm joined by George Kurtz, who is in for Mike Blewett. I believe Mike, it is one of his children's birthdays, so happy birthday to them. We got Sean Engel downstairs. We got a lot to get to. Fantasy football likely going to be for hours 2 and 3. I'm going to make sure we get the baseball in. We're getting up to the All-Star break and everything, so that's where we'll start with hour one. But allow me to bring in George Kurtz. George, how are we doing?
How are we doing, Kevin? I'm doing pretty good. No complaints. Actually, I'm heading to Vegas tomorrow. So,
very nice.
Yeah, it's not hot enough in New York, so I want to, you know, go check out Vegas.
What are the big plans in Vegas?
Big plans, I know I'm in a poker tournament there.
Very nice.
Series of poker. So, a big fantasy football draft as well, so gonna have some fun.
Before we get to baseball, I think the big thing within the fantasy industry is Scott Fishbowl started. We're going to talk again a lot about that. Hour two, hour three. Early returns, though, for you in Scott Fishbowl. How are you feeling?
Good. We're in round 15 now. Okay. What's great about the Scott Fishbowl, it's a super flex league. I'm assuming most people know. If you don't, super flex league. And the reason I like this so much is you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, you don't know what the draft's going to be. Are people going to draft quarterbacks early? Are they waiting? And I know a lot of people said, well, listen, I've been a great quarterback in round 4, round 5. Well, not in my draft. Quarterbacks flew off the board. You know, and I had round at pick 12. All right, so... And I don't like pick 12 because I don't like there's always a chance you're going to be on the wrong end of a run. And my draft did start. The first couple of rounds went pretty basic, as even our standard draft was. So I remember when I made my pick around 3, I didn't pick a quarterback. I had one quarterback, but I didn't pick my second quarterback. I'm like, I'll get one. You know, I go 23 picks later. It's a good chance I'll still be able to get one when he comes back. Well, I was wrong, as 11 of the next 18 picks were quarterbacks. And people went bananas for quarterbacks. So, you know, but I understand that. I like that. It just adds a different element of strategy to the draft. So, having a good time. My draft is moving along, which is also key. Yeah. It's a slow draft, but like I said, it's been, since Monday at 11 a.m. We're with Saturday at 9 a.m., and we are in middle of round 15. Good chance I'll have my pick, maybe even during this show.
That would not be bad. This is the first time I've done Scott Fishbowl, and obviously, you know, like you mentioned, the super flex, meaning you can obviously have a quarterback at one of your flex positions there. And that's the first time I've played in a super flex. So I was kind of trying to find the balance. I had picked 10, and Rodgers was on the board. And I know sometimes he was going really, really high, but I tried to do some opposition research, George, because you find all these guys on Twitter and everyone loves fantasy. So I'm trying to see what they're talking about. And one guy for sure, he put his strategy. He's like, I'm trying to go running back because he was on the turn. Like, I don't got to worry about him. He's not taking quarterback. And then the other guy, I was trying to figure out what he was going to do. I was like, I think Rodgers might get back to me. The very next pick, Rodgers went. So maybe I should have just took him at 10. I ended up with Brady in the second round. So I think that worked out. And the one thing I was upset at myself for is I did not check and I ended up timing out, which I was a little upset at myself, obviously, because then you don't get the guy that you would have taken at the board. You have to contact Scott, which is terrific of him, and then you're able to get anybody who's left on the board when you finally contact him. So if that's happened to anybody by chance listening, you just contact Scott. But obviously, I felt bad for the rest of the league because that's a long time to wait for someone to not make a pick. But that's a living.
Yeah, we hate you.
Rightfully so. Let's move on to baseball, though, because we're going to talk again a lot of fantasy football, hour two, hour three. So the biggest story right now in baseball, obviously we're heading to the All-Star break, though, is going to be the approaching trade deadline, and still the biggest name on the market is Manny Machado. And last night we got from Ken Rosenthal an update. I think it happened around or midday yesterday. And the update, though, was that the Phillies increased their interest in their potential to go and grab Manny Machado. The Dodgers and the Yankees still were the strongest offers, but it looks like the Phillies have ramped that up. The Brewers were fading, and the D-backs, they seemed like a distant fifth place in all of these discussions. He then later on reported that the Orioles are diving deeper into the Phillies' prospects and their farm system, so it looks like there maybe is something building towards that. We know for sure now, I think, that Machado is going to be moved, because I know that some people said, oh, they might mess this up and they might not even actually get the trade off. The trade is going to happen. Let's just start here, George. If you're a fantasy owner of Manny Machado, obviously your best case scenario is him ending up on the Yankees, no?
Your best case scenario is him staying in Baltimore.
Hmm.
You don't want him to move. You don't want him to move out of Camden Yards. And you certainly don't want him to go to Yankee Stadium. I mean, he's not someone who's really adept at hitting the ball the opposite way like Aaron Judge does, or Stanton for that matter, take advantage of that short porch. He's, I don't want to say he's a pure pull hitter, but he pulls more often than not. And don't get me wrong, he has enough power to hit the ball out of any park, but Yankee Stadium, 399 left center, he'll lose a couple of home runs. Might he gain some more RBIs because Yankees get on base in front of him? Yeah, you can make that argument. That being said, he makes no sense for the Yankees. None. I mean, I think this is all Cashman doing a smokescreen here. Yeah, and I think it's also this is Cashman making sure that Manny's not going for cheap. That this doesn't end up being a Stanton thing, where they're giving Stanton away here, which Baltimore's not going to do. You know, they're not going to give him away. To say that Manny's definitely going to be traded, I think, is also a mistake.
Okay,
Baltimore is not a well-run organization at all.
Ah.
I mean, Peter Angelos, I mean, you don't know what he's going to do, and he has to know that as soon as you trade Manny, all you're going to hear in that ballpark is crickets. They're barely drawing now.
Mm-hmm.
You trade Manny, no one's going to that game. The only people going to that game are fans of the other team that are going to see their team play. So that plays a part in this as well, because Angelos thinks like that. He's more worried about money than he is about making this team better.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted the best return possible for Manny, he would have already been traded either before the season or at last year's deadline. The longer you wait, the less you get in return for Manny. So like I said, he's not going to go. I'd be shocked if he goes to the Yankees. The Yankees, don't get me wrong when I say this, he would make the Yankees better. Of course he would. But he has stated over and over again, in no uncertain terms, that he's only playing shortstop. So what, Gorriez loses his job? I'm not saying Gorriez is the same as Manny. He's not. But he's certainly not bad.
Right.
So you're not getting as big an upgrade as you think. And what do you do with Gorriez? You know, even if you say you're going to move to third base. Okay, so Andujar loses his job, another productive player. And now you're weaker defensively at both positions. Because Manny hasn't had a good defensive year at shortstop, and Gregorius is not even a third baseman. So you don't even know what you'd get there. So that would seem to be a mistake. Where you're going to put Gregorius at second, and Torres, you're going to mess everything up in the infield. So it doesn't make any sense for the Yankees to go away after Manny. Plus, the prospects you'd have to give up. The Yankees need pitching. That's what they need. I understand it's not out there this year. And you can't. And Mets aren't going to trade DeGrom or Syndergaard to the Yankees. That's not going to happen. So I get it. It's not out there. But the bottom line is, it doesn't make much sense for the Yankees to get Machado unless the price is cheap. I think Cashman is really hoping another team steps up and will pay a price that he doesn't have to worry about, saying, oh, well, how didn't you pay for this price? How don't the Yankees have him? For a two-month rental, it won't make sense for what the Yankees will have to give up.
On the Yankees front, the one thing that has been I've tried to find the balance within it, because as you've mentioned, he's been very adamant. I'm playing short. But then there also, I've seen reports that he would play third for the Yankees. We've heard for a while that his preferred destination would be the Yankees. We saw the other day, because this is one of the beautiful things about the social media era, because players cannot help themselves, he liked a picture on Instagram of him in a Yankees uniform. So the one thing I think that is interesting for the Yankees and probably the Phillies, because you mentioned that they would be contenders as well, is you'd have to feel some type of confidence that if you make this move, it's not a two-month rental, and that you then are going to have Manny Machado. Now, I do think that if he was traded, say, by the Yankees, regardless of what's given up, if he came in right away and says, I have to play shortstop, that's going to lead to chemistry problems that I just don't think you really need in your locker room as you're trying to obviously make this type of push. So I would agree with you. But let me ask you, one of the things that has well been reported, if the Yankees make this move for Manny Machado, people feel that it almost guarantees Andahari's move then in another deal, in a corresponding trade elsewhere to then bring in that starting pitching. And Ken Rosenthal said there is some people who aren't positive if the Yankees can get the starting pitching that they're looking for with Andahar as the centerpiece of that trade. If that is the Yankees' plan, how does that land for you? Does that feel like a feasible plan for the Yankees? Again, if they don't have to give up an arm and a leg to get Machado.
See, there are a lot of problems with this whole premise here. What starting pitcher are we talking about? There's no starting pitcher out there. There's no Justin Verlander out there this year. You know, Andujar could get you is a nice starting pitcher. The Yankees have more than enough prospects to get any starting pitcher they want that's available. That's not the issue here. The issue here, what starting pitcher? And people say, if Machado is not going to replace Andujar, Machado has stated it no uncertain terms. He will only play. He said it this week. This week, live on TV, that he's only going to play shortstop. You know, and maybe it's a negotiating ploy. A lot of this is. You know, him liking the Instagram, liking the Yankee picture, it's a negotiating ploy. He'll say he loves the Yankees. Why? Because that raises the dollar amount next year. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the Yankees will be a player for him. So it raised the dollar amount. He'll like everything from the Yankees, everything from Boston, even though they don't need him either. But players will do that. It's rare you're going to come out and say, oh, I hate the Yankees. Because you do that, you lose money. You know, so you're not going to say that. That's why that's all the agent there. His agent, Scott Boras, he's going to tell him everything he needs to do to make as much money as possible. So that to me is a minor thing here. But it comes down to this always over and over again for the Yankees. They can get anybody they want, with or without Andujar. Right, they have one of the best minor league systems in the game, if not the best. The problem is who? That player is not available. Everybody can say, oh, Andujar can head, or maybe he is enough. It doesn't matter. Who? You know, I mean, the Yankees need an elite pitcher. So we're not talking, J.A. Happ, which makes no sense. He's getting wrecked by everybody. You know, he's not going to help you at all. You're talking about, you want someone like Jacob DeGrom, and if Jacob DeGrom was on the Minnesota Twins, we'd have a conversation here.
Right.
But he's on the New York Mets, and the Mets are not going to trade DeGrom to the Yankees. They're just not going to do it, or Syndergaard for that matter. So who can the Yankees pry away? I know Baumgartner's name has come out there earlier, but the problem is he's a legacy player for San Fran, and they're still in the race.
Yeah.
So they're not going to trade him. So who are the Yankees going to get? You know, and you mentioned about Machado, and I think it's one very good point. Machado is, you watch him play. The other day he didn't run on a ground ball. You know, saying he only wants to play shortstop. You know, he could be a clubhouse issue. I wouldn't be so anxious to add this guy to my team either. You know, as far as unless you really need him. The Yankees just don't need him. What are they going to keep out slugging teams, try to win games 9-8? They have one starting pitcher right now, and that's Severino. And even he doesn't look very good right now. His last couple of starts, he's getting hit as if he might be tired. Maybe he needs this all-star break. You know, Germán got wrecked last night. CC Sabathia got wrecked against Baltimore on Monday. Tanaka got wrecked. Sonny Gray has been wrecked all year. The Yankees need starting pitching barely, but they need good starting pitching because something else that everybody knows. The Yankees only thing the regular season determines here between the Yankees and the Red Sox is who's facing James Paxton in the wild card game. That's all this determines. You know, so the Yankees don't need a starting pitcher to help get them through the regular season. They have that. They'll make the playoffs. What they need is someone that will help them win the playoffs. And the J.A. Happs of the world, they're not going to help them win the playoffs. Who's J.A. Happ beating? You know, odds are the Yankees will play Boston. If they win the wild card, they'll play Boston next round. The Red Sox just beat the crap out of J.A. Happ. You know, so what does he help? A lot of this doesn't make sense, these pitches people throw out there. The Yankees aren't looking to, we need a pitcher for August, September. No, they don't. You know, they'll be fine with the guys they have. The guys they have aren't great, but they'll out-hit people anyway. And Machado just adds to that. But does Machado help you in a playoff series? No. You need pitching. And the Yankees don't. This is an unfortunate, if you're a Yankee fan, and I am, it's an unfortunate year for the Yankees. They have the prospects, but it's just not the pitcher out there. Justin Verlander is not coming loose this year for a team that just wants to get rid of the salary. You know, that as it did for Houston last year. It's not coming for the Yankees this year. It's they have the prospects to grab anybody they want, but it's just not there. I don't see where merging your farm system, giving you great prospects for a 2-month rental for a guy you don't need who down displaces somebody, makes any sense.
I'm going to throw out an interesting who as far as pitcher go, but I'll do that at the top of the next segment. I will say, you mentioned something in terms of the Yankees' involvement could be to ensure that this guy goes, that he doesn't go for nothing, right? Because if you're the Yankees, when you have more to offer than anybody else, what could be a big-time move for a Dodgers or a big-time move for the Phillies, for the Yankees, it can feel somewhat minor in terms of what you have to give up. Because I think a guy like Manny Machado, a talent like Manny Machado, if you would have told people that all the Yankees would have had to give up is Justin Sheffield, and not to sell him short, but if you would have said that at the beginning of the year, it would have been laughed at because people would have said, no. If you're going to get Manny Machado, Gleyber Torres absolutely has to be a part of that deal. Well, now we know that that's not even a conversation because of how valuable Gleyber Torres has become. Okay, well, then Clint Frazier plus Justice Sheffield has to be a part of that deal. And that's still not even the position that the Baltimore Orioles are in. We've seen, I believe the report was with the Dodgers, that the hangup was the Dodgers not wanting to give up their second overall prospect. So I do think that that's a key thing here. Because typically a player, again, of Manny Machado's talent would be going for so much, would command so much on the trade market. But again, George, as you put perfectly there, because of how long the Orioles have waited, the value was dropped, and that could be a key reason as to why the Yankees are so involved. I have an interesting potential pitcher. Maybe he comes on the market, maybe he doesn't. I'm going to ask George about him on the other side right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Going on an early Saturday morning. Absolutely love it, Sean Engel. So, look, I understand that this whole Yankee situation is a little difficult to gauge, right? It's like, how do you need more offense? Why is Manny Machado the answer? I totally get that. And everybody admits this team would need starting pitching over another bat, especially when Andahar's producing at third base. But as George said, what are the starting pitchers that are available? Maybe the Mets are willing to actually move on from DeGrom and or Syndergaard, but not with the Yankees in almost 100% certainty, probably 98% certainty, that that's not a move that they're going to be willing to make. So who do you get excited about? And again, as George said, J.A. Happ, Cole Hamels, they're not going to move Mad Bum. But there is one guy who maybe he comes available, who at the beginning of the year, I would have never thought I would have even been able to suggest this as a possibility. There is one team that has underachieved massively to this point. They would still have to lose some games, and it would have to come closer to the deadline for them to be willing to make this move. But George, what if the Washington Nationals don't pull this together? They currently sit at 47-47, dead even at 500. 6.5 back of the Phillies, 5 back of the second wild card spot. By no means out of it. But if this gets worse, with the impending free agency of Bryce Harper, Washington Nationals decide, you know what? Let's take some phone calls. And Max Scherzer hits the trade market. What do you think, George?
It'll never happen. they're not trading Scherzer. I mean, Washington's not a small market team. All right, so they're not looking to get rid of Sally. Scherzer, if not the best pitcher in the game, is what, top three? You know, they'll reload for next year. I think this is not a team that, oh, Harper's leaving, we're done for 3 years. You know, we've seen how good Juan Soto is. Victor Robles will be better than he is. So they'll be fine offensively. Daniel Murphy's back now, starting to hit again. He looks like he's playing on a broken leg, for crying out loud, but he's there. So, no. You're the first person I've heard even mention. I was, you know, it's funny, when you made the tease, and for those who don't know, I didn't know who Kevin was going at either. So I'm going through the league. I'm looking at players that Kevin could come one with. Wrote down a few names. Scherzer was not. I didn't even think about me. It's funny you should bring up Washington because a friend of mine, not in the industry, but he's well informed, brought up Washington as a possible trading Bryce Harper. If they fall out of it. That's what he brought up. That for the same reason you stated about Scherzer. Well, they're out of it. You know, maybe they'll trade Bryce Harper. Now, he wasn't talking about to the Yankees. He was just trading Bryce Harper in general. Once again, I don't even think that happens. Unless you're talking, I mean, we got, 2.5 weeks to a deadline here? I mean, sure, if they probably got from, 12, 14 games. If they go 2-10 and they really fall out of it, I guess we can talk about this. Not Scherzer, Harper. Scherzer's not going anywhere because they'll just reload for next year there. So I would be shocked if we even heard any Scherzer rumors here. You know, I have no doubt Cashman's talked to every team about trying to go shake one of these guys loose. But like I said, it would be I would be floored for them just because it doesn't make much sense for them. They don't need to do it. They don't need to drop salary. They don't need to get rid of Scherzer. Oh, my God, we're a cheap team. They have plenty of money here. If they want to re-sign Bryce Harper, they can. And right now, I think they're one of the leading teams to do that, even though it's going to cost minimum $300 million, if not $400 million. Mm. But I don't see them even thinking about moving Scherzer. Like I said, they're 6.5 out of a division, 5 out in the wild card. It's obviously not what we expected them to be, but I think I don't think they'll full out of it between now and July to even think about trading Harper, more or less Scherzer.
I'm going to ask you about some of the names you wrote down. I have one more point on the Scherzer thing because I do think that that is the appropriate reaction that you gave. And also, again, the Nationals still have a lot of talent there. Like, it would not shock me that this team is significantly closer to the top of this division by the time that we approach July 31st. And I think the Harper point is very interesting. But if the Nationals made that shocking move, and they ended up putting Scherzer on the market, they said, you know what, we'll listen. Because one of the things that you've always said, George, and I think it's 100% spot on, don't not pick up the phone. Pick up the damn phone and listen, because you never know what somebody's willing to offer you. There is no such thing as untradeable. So if the Nationals decided to pick up the phone, and all of a sudden maybe there's a little bit of traction, do you think that that could possibly get the Mets out of their seat? Because right now, the way things currently stand in that National League East, the Phillies and the Braves have better futures, and the Nationals do as well. And if the Nationals made that move, then all three of them would create a sizable gap between the not only present roster, but the future roster for all three of those ball clubs. Do you think that could be something that would then have them end up calling the Yankees and say, you know what, let's just get this done? Or, is probably going to be your answer, and I understand why, there is nothing that can happen that will have the Yankees and the Mets do a blockbuster trade.
Well, it's the Mets. Brian Cashman will do a deal with the Mets without a problem. And, I've stated this multiple times. If I'm a GM, I understand you don't want to trade within your division, and you'd rather not trade with your rival. I get it. But if that's where the best deal is, that's where the best deal is. I'm not saying the Mets have to deal for DeGrom and or Syndergaard for the best offer they can get. No. But they both should be on the market. And if they get an offer they like, they should take it. And I'm not talking about an offer, you know, where the Yankees give up their top 30 prospects. All right? I'm talking if they get an offer that's a fair market value, and it's one that you like, you make the offer, you make the deal, especially for DeGrom. And the reason why I say this for DeGrom and not necessarily Syndergaard, DeGrom is 30 years old. You have control of him salary-wise, or decent control, for 2 more years. And then he hits free agency. And then that's where the big money's going to come. But he'll be 32 at that time, a time where he could break down pretty much at any moment. So the Mets don't even want to pay him, I'll just say, in 2 years, $30 million a year. I think that's about what his price will be, somewhere around that range. So the Mets aren't going to want to pay that for a guy who could break down at pretty much any moment at that time. We've seen that with pitchers, right? It's about when their shelf life starts to end here. So, let's be realistic, probably not going to contend for 2 years. And this team, I don't think they're a complete train wreck, but they have some issues here they have to fix here. So they're probably not going to contend during his 2 years anyway. If you can get Justus Sheffield, Clint Frazier, you know, Estavio Floro, whatever else for the whatever you really like. I mean, for DeGrom, you could probably get, though you're not going to get Torres. That's not going to happen. You might be able to get Andujar. You might even be able to get him included in this deal. Yeah, even though the Yankees would have a replacement for him this season, the Yankees have to make another deal for a third baseman from another team, which can be done. The Yankees would definitely talk, and the Mets would get a good prospect deal because the Yankees need DeGrom badly. You know, that's why it makes sense. And I would trade DeGrom before Syndergaard because Syndergaard's 25.
Yeah.
So you have control of him for longer. He could be that guy, assuming he figures out whatever his problem has been this year, which has really been location more than anything else. He could be that guy when he hits free agency in a couple of years where you do give that long-term contract because he's younger and he'll last longer. But I wouldn't be against putting him on a trade market either to see what comes out there. You know, like I said, I'm not saying you move these guys at all costs, Kevin. I'm not saying that from the Mets. But you put their names out there, see what packages come back. And you said it. You never know what's going to come out there, what's going to intrigue you. Mm. You know, so I absolutely, and if I'm the Mets, like I said, I'm pushing to move DeGrom more than I am Syndergaard. Because you don't want to make the same mistake the Orioles are making. Mm-hmm. And you try and move DeGrom a year and 2 years from now, you know, 2 months before his free agency year, you're not going to get as much. You're just not going to. It's the way baseball works, and it makes perfect sense. The more time a team's going to get with a player, the more they're going to be willing to give up to get that player.
And I think it's one of the things that I've been stressing on this program, and I really think even the most optimistic of Mets fans has to admit the Mets are not going to pay Jacob DeGrom. They're just not going to do it. This is a team that has typically not been willing to spend the top dollar. And when it comes time to pay him, as you just said, he will be 32 years of age. And we already know what's going to be said. Why pay a 32-year-old? We have to pay Syndergaard big money. Who knows? At that time, they might be saying, oh, eventually we're going to have to pay Matt some decent money. So the value of DeGrom, trade-wise, will never be higher. And they're never going to pay him. So that is, again, why I just... The DeGrom move makes sense. You know, one of the things I do think that is a little bit interesting in that, right? And again, maybe there's a bit of a hang-up in the discussion because... It is so insane how much sense this Yankees-Mets trade makes. And again, George, you said it. I've said it. It is clear as day. If one of these teams was based out in Minnesota, the trade's probably already done. Are there other contenders that make sense to come and get DeGrom? Because the Yankees are, I mean, if you look at all the teams that can possibly win a World Series, they most likely have the biggest need for another starting pitcher. I mean, certainly not the Astros, right? But I do think that the Red Sox could use another starting pitcher. I think the Brewers could use another starting pitcher probably as well. I mean, the Braves maybe, but I don't think that's not going to probably happen, right? Mets and Braves in division. Is there another contender that makes sense for DeGrom? Because, again, this isn't a Manny Machado situation. You get 2 years of control if you do trade for Jacob DeGrom. And that's enough value to where if you're a team that trades for him and and you don't want to pay him in 2 years, again, when he's 32, 2 years of Jacob DeGrom, especially where he's at right now, is still likely worth what you would have to give up. So is there another contender that makes sense for DeGrom, or is it just the Yankees?
Oh, well, there's other contenders. The problem is, do they have the farm system to give up what the Mets would want?
Right.
I mean, Seattle could certainly use him. I mean, certainly use him. He would actually make a lot of sense for Seattle if they can get there. But I don't think they have the farm system to get it done. And let's face it, the Mets are going to trade DeGrom. Boy, would they love to move him to Seattle. Couldn't get any further away, right? So you have to worry about it. He's in the other league. He's in the upper northwest. Oakland, you know, people forget Oakland's only 5 games behind Seattle. And they're playing very well. So that's another team. But I certainly don't think Oakland is making any kind of big move here. It's that huge move to go with that prospects. That's it for the American League. There are no other contenders. You know, you already stated in the National League, he's not going to Philadelphia. He's not going to Atlanta. They won't trade with the Yankees. They're not trading within their own division. Mm. So you can knock that up. And Atlanta has one of the best pitching farm systems in baseball. Actually, in my mind, I think they have the best. So they have young pitchers coming. They don't need to do this. So that's not going to happen. Milwaukee would make sense. Mm. Take another team that could certainly use the pitching. We hear that they're heavy on Machado as well. So they're actually looking for hitting right now, which is surprising. This team can hit fine. You know, it's really pitching they don't have. And if Milwaukee made that move, they were able to add someone like DeGrom, man, are they the best team in the National League then? You know, that's, I'd wonder that. Arizona, another team, but I don't think they have the farm system either to really get this deal done. That's the problem. Who has the farm system? But there are plenty of other teams. I mean, Colorado, San Fran, these are all teams that are contending for a wild card spot. St. Louis, you know, St. Louis had some injuries in their rotation. You know, but I don't think the farm system is always going to be the issue. Do you have the prospects? That's why the Yankees are always at the top of any list, because we know they have the prospects. The Yankees aren't considered to have the best farm system in baseball. I think it's top three. I think Atlanta's number one, actually. But same problem. You mentioned Boston. Is there a need? Sure. Everybody, it's always a need for DeGrom. But Boston, that same situation as the Yankees. They know they're making the playoffs. Probably right. Winning the division. You know, so they're just looking to win the playoff rounds and World Series. DeGrom certainly helps that. But you already got Sale. You know, I know Porcello got wrecked last night. I don't know what he was smoking last night, but he was terrible. You got Eduardo Rodriguez. I know the Price has been up and down. Price actually has pitched pretty well, except against the Yankees. So they have enough there. And once again, they've already mortgaged a good part of their system to get Sale. I don't know if they want to mortgage the rest of it to get the DeGrom. You know, and by the way, for those who are wondering, the Yankees are number one on their no-trade list. Philadelphia, Atlanta, Washington are there. Boston's about in that top five as well. They don't do too many deals there either. Mm. So I don't know if the Mets be all that willing to move them there. They would rather move them to Boston than the Yankees.
Right.
But I don't think Boston's going to get heavily involved here, because I don't think they're going to feel the need here to mortgage the rest of their system. And I don't know if they have enough in their system without giving up major league talent, in other words, Rafael Devers, to do that. So that's be the other issue here. But if you're the Mets, you're crazy not to at least think about it. And by the way, one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of the segment, I think that was Viva Las Vegas that Sean was playing on the intro. So it's good to see Sean pays attention.
Sean is an ace down there. He picks it up just like this. He's quick as a whip. You know, one of the things is, as you were going on there, I think it's going to end up a lose for the Mets. Like, there are three scenarios that play out. They hold DeGrom and they get bashed for doing just that. They trade him to the Yankees and then they get bashed for helping the Yankees become legitimized, because I think, and you know, George, you can speak to this whether we have time left within the segment or in the next bit. If the Yankees actually got DeGrom, would you then feel like they could win the World Series? Because I know you're still a little bit hesitant at the moment, and totally understand why. Sonny Gray would have to pitch in the playoffs for them. That's terrifying. Or the third option is, say they trade him to the Cubs or the Red Sox, Mariners, whatever it is. It will almost assuredly be less than what the Yankees would have offered. Because I would almost guarantee that if they make that move, let's just say they trade him to the Brewers, there will be a report that comes out, leaked by the Yankees, of what they would have given up. And then they'll get bashed for that. So it's almost, you know, pick your poison. One of these scenarios is going to play out. Either he goes to the Yankees, different contender, they keep him. And they're likely going to get bashed for all three. So do you pick the lesser of all the evils? Or do they just do the right thing? And what puts them in the best position to succeed? And one of the things, and I've said this a number of times, and I mean, and George, you know it, you know, as well as anyone, right? I remember when I saw the back cover of the New York Daily News, and it was Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard in Yankees pinstripes. And I laughed to myself. What fools. What a complete waste of time. Never will something like this happen. That was my initial reaction right away. Yet week after week after week, I've come on the show. People have done it all over any sports talk radio that you listen to, especially New York-based. And they've had that discussion of, would DeGrom make sense for the Yankees? Because despite the fact that in your heart of hearts, Yankees fan, Mets fan, if you know, you know that these two teams won't get this deal done, it is insane. It is overwhelming how much sense it actually makes, because there is no team that has the combination of need for a starting pitcher plus the ability to replenish your farm system, especially for a team like the Mets, who have struck out, it seems like, time and time again in all of these big moves. The Yankees have proven guys to a degree, as proven as prospects can be. We've seen Andujar produce. We've seen Clint Frazier, to a degree, produce. We'll come back, talk a little more All-Star. We'll see if Jacob deGrom would really put the Yankees as true contenders in George's mind. And we're going to wrap up hour one with a little bit more baseball right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Listening to Fantasy Sports Today here on this Saturday morning. Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz talking a little bit of baseball, a little bit of trade deadline. Could the Yankees make a big move? We're going to see the Mets make a big move. Could the Nationals give the Yankees Max Scherzer for next to nothing? I'd like to see it. I don't think that'll happen, though, but that would be nice. But George, I mean, humor me. Humor me for a second. If the Yankees get DeGrom in this magical world, World Series legitimate then, or are you still holding out reservation because of how good the Astros are?
Well, it's certainly more legit. You get two ace starting pitches with Severino and DeGrom. I mean, you're a threat with that Yankee offense. You're certainly a threat. Do I think they'd be the favorite then? No. I mean, once again, Houston could still throw Verlander, Morton, Cole, McCullers. Yeah, even all of a sudden, Keuchel's all of a sudden now figured it out, and he's pitching well. But the Yankees would certainly be a threat. You don't need five starting pitchers. You don't need four starting pitchers in the playoffs. You know, so they would be a much more legitimate threat. The Yankees need another ace. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. They just need another ace. The biggest problem with the Yankees right now is you got to make sure you win the wild card game. James Paxton is one of the better pitchers in the American League. I know the Yankees beat him up when he pitched in New York. You know, that's one start. That's great. Gives you confidence. Doesn't mean you're going to win the game, you know, that Tuesday in October, wherever that game is. So that's the issue there. The Yankees got to win that one game first, and you worry about a series after that. The Yankees are a team, for what it's worth, that seems to play better against the better teams. They play down to their competition. There's very little doubt about that. You know, they got swept by Tampa Bay a little while ago. They can't beat the Orioles to save their lives. You know, it's why they'll end up not winning the division because of that. But against the good teams, they seem to, you know, I think they're 20-8 offhand against the Mariners, the Red Sox, the Astros, Cleveland. Playoff teams, weird, but against the other teams, now they're having some issues there. So that's good news for the Yankees. You look at it that way, and but they need if you want to tell me to win the World Series, they need no start. I mean, you look at every team they could face outside of Seattle's the one game. All the other teams have better starting staffs, and some of it's not even all that close. So Houston's not close right now. Boston's got a better starting staff than the Yankees. That's a little closer, but it's better. Cleveland has got a better starting staff than the Yankees. You know, it's just that who are you matching up against? You're going to have to hope. What's the old adage in baseball? Good pitching shuts down good hitting. Mm. I could easily see that happening in the playoffs to the Yankees.
Well, the question then remains, who wants to go to a 2018 World Series game? The Yankees do, but do you? Tune into the Fantasy Sports Radio Network between July 8th and July 17th as we will be playing the DKMS Trivia Challenge for your shot to call in with a chance to attend the Fall Classic in person. Hopefully some of those games are in New York. The number to play is 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-FNTSY. The contest is sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. And while 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, nearly 14,000 people each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. So find out how you can help the cause and go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. It's the DKMS Trivia Challenge right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from July 8th through July 17th. So call in and win your chance to go the 2018 World Series. Obviously, a lot of teams trying to go to the 2018 World Series. Talk about a transition there, George. I'm proud of myself for that one. The All-Star game, though, is upon us. And one of the things I've learned from Mike Blewett as we've done these shows, he said, as you grow with age, you worry less about awards, accolades, because you can kind of know that, you know, some of this stuff is politics. They don't always get it right, but you don't have to lose sleep over it. And I kind of felt this way. I still get very worked up about a lot of MVPs, but I kind of felt this way with the All-Star game for baseball this year. You know, just wasn't all too concerned with who was in, who was out. I felt like, you know, for the most part, I'm sure that they'll get this right to a degree. But then my brother was talking to me. He's like, "Did you see the Snell snub?" And I was like, "No, what happened there?" He's like, "He's got to be the best guy to not make it." And he was reading me off the Snell stats, which to a degree I didn't even realize how phenomenal he was. And this guy has a legitimate argument to be the starting pitcher for the American League for this game. And he didn't make it. I thought that was wild. Did you care at all? And does this stuff still interest you, like the snubs? Because we do this list every year. They never seem to get it right.
In my Who's Hot, Who's Not column for Roto Experts this week, it's posted up there. If you read it, I state clearly, I don't care about the All-Star game. I don't care about Cy Young Awards. I don't care about the Hall of Fame. I don't care about any of this stuff. That's not to say I don't like talking about it. It's right. Fun to talk about it. But to care about it, no. All right? I think you put it perfectly. A lot of it's politicized. It's all BS. You know, it truly is. Who makes the All-Star game? Who doesn't? The fact that the All-Star game, now it doesn't matter anymore. It's not, you know, it doesn't mean something, is what I should say. That's a good thing. You know, I didn't mind that it did mean something, but when you're going to make it mean something, then you got to do the All-Star game right. Enough of this bull crap where every team has to have a representative. No. Either you are an All-Star or you are not an All-Star, okay, if the game means something. Now it doesn't mean something, so I don't care anymore. Fine. You know, have every team have a representative. Yeah. It's still silly. You know, don't call yourself an All-Star game. You have guys who really aren't All-Stars. I mean, people get snubbed. It's going to happen. But as I stated clearly in the article, and I wrote my five hot guys were guys who were snubbed. My five not guys were guys who made the team and no business being there. But I stated very clearly that a lot of these guys that I put on the snub list are going to make the game anyway. Snell was one of them because you knew there'd be guys bouncing out that couldn't make it, that are pitching on Sunday, that therefore won't pitch in the All-Star game. So you knew these guys would make it. Snell made it. Charlie Morton made it. Stuff like that. So I said, I don't care. I don't need to pick the player. I think that's when I stopped caring because I realized the players don't care. You know, maybe it's more in football than anything else. A lot of these players beg, "Oh, no, we can't make the game. I got a hangnail. I got to rearrange my sock drawer. Can't make it." You know, this sort of crap. You know, and I get it. You know, they want the 4 days off to recharge the battery, so I get it. But for me to get all worked up about an All-Star game, you know, when I was a kid, sure. You know, back in the 80s and stuff, I liked it a lot more. It was a big thing. Maybe it's because now of interleague play. We see all the players anyway. Maybe it's because just that we live in 2018. I have the baseball package. I see all the games anyway. It's not like I'm never going to see a certain player until he plays in the All-Star game. So it just doesn't mean as much.
Yeah, and again, for anyone that doesn't know, Snell ended up getting in. He replaced Kluber. So, and that was another thing that a lot of people said. I remember, I was on the show right away. They're like, "Yeah, he's going to get in, though, because at least, you know, as you mentioned, people pull out, people miss because they started close to when the actual All-Star game is. They have sock drawers to rearrange. So, you know, he does get in, and he ends up an All-Star. One of the things I don't know if, I'm pretty sure baseball doesn't have, like, see, it's tough when you have an All-Star game in the middle of the year because, you know, right? If we look at, he was an All-Star. What if you don't finish at an All-Star level? Or if a guy progresses forward? Like, the NBA has that same thing, but I know at the end of the year they have the All-NBA. So it's pretty much, you know, the top 15 players, give or take, because it's position-based, will end up making the All-NBA teams. I mean, the NFL, they don't have any All-Star game. Imagine if the NFL had an All-Star game. What a mess that would be. If they had to just do 2 weeks off to play an exhibition game of football, that would be a disaster. That's why the Pro Bowl, at least it's as the right time. But it comes at the end of the year. I mean, you also have all the All-AP honors, so it's kind of it represents the full season. I don't think they have a lead white. I mean, no, they have their MVPs, their Silver Sluggers, they've got the Gold Gloves, but I don't think they have an, you know, All-MLB first team. You know, and you have your nine starters, your top pitcher, top relief pitcher. That's not a thing, is it?
As far as like an all pro list or something like that, no, yeah. They don't have quite the same thing. It's I don't mind the All Star game being in the middle of the season. You can't do it at the end; nobody would go. So I don't mind it being in the middle of the season. I really don't. I think one thing baseball should do is the Futures game is tomorrow.
Mm.
You know, not that that's a huge draw, but still, why would you have it at 4 o'clock on a Sunday when you're having regular major league games? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You're competing against yourself. Why not have the Futures game on Monday? Well, you are, aren't you? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Futures game Monday, the Home Run Derby Tuesday, the All-Star game Wednesday. And by doing that, that means, you know, the pitchers who pitch on Sunday could pitch in the All-Star game. And, you know, Thursday's still your off day, your travel day. I imagine the Players Union doesn't want that. Because then players who play in the game only have one off day rather than two. I guess that's it. But I've never understood the Futures game being on that Sunday afternoon. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, I don't. I can't really figure that out at all. Like, especially if you're trying to showcase these guys, then you should kind of have it be the only baseball that's on that day. And I know it's not apples to apples, but, you know, part of the NBA All-Star weekend is the rookie sophomores game, which is kind of turned into U.S. versus international, but it's still made up of year one and year two guys. So, and it's the only basketball that's on. So at least your diehard basketball fans are watching. Sure, you know, your casuals may not turn in. But, you know, again, it's going to be diehards that turn in to watch the Futures game. But if their team is playing, well, they're not going to tune in to watch the Futures game. I had no idea that that's how they did it. And there's a couple of more trades that could happen. But I want to just quickly circle back to the Machado thing, just because we did we spent a lot of time talking about it in terms of the Yankees. But the Dodgers and the Phillies are both going to be aggressive here, right? And I think the Phillies seem to have a more likely chance to bring back Machado as opposed to the Dodgers because, you know, it is going to be, I don't know, maybe I'm being stubborn and saying it's going to be tough to see if Machado's willing to play third base. He's just said he's only playing short, so maybe I'm being stubborn. And if that is the case, we know he's not going back to the Dodgers because Corey Seager is their guy. He's absolutely going to be their guy. So I guess the Phillies would have a better chance. How much you have to factor all of that in when you're making this offer, right? I mean, if you're the Phillies, you're how far are you willing to go for this guy? Because I would assume that you don't feel as if the addition of Machado is going to have the Phillies as that doesn't make them legitimate World Series contenders, right?
It'll make them a better team.
Yeah.
It does make sense for Philadelphia because Crawford's not working out. I mean, he's getting hurt now. He wasn't really performing when he wasn't. So even though he was at one time a top prospect, not working out. So it does make sense there. And the National League is sort of wide open. You know, whichever team makes the big deal could be considered the favorite there. I mean, let's just say for argument's sake, Philadelphia gets Machado. You know, are they now the best team in the East? Okay, maybe Washington can't catch him then. Mm. I can buy that. You know, Milwaukee, I don't know how they're doing it with that pitching staff, the starting pitching staff. So I don't know how they're doing it. So I don't think Philadelphia's all that far behind them. I don't. You know, Dodgers have had their issues. Arizona, I don't think it's a great team. So I think it makes it a smorgasbord, a whole bunch of teams you don't know who's going to come out of it. That's why I think whoever makes the best deal in the National League could be considered the favorite. So, yeah, I can see this. And people forget, Philadelphia is a big market team.
Yeah.
They've got a massive television contract. So if they want it, this may not be a rental. You know, excuse me. I've said it over and over again. I think Philadelphia signs either Machado or Harper. And both isn't out of the question. Mm-hmm. They have the money. They can do this if they want. Yeah, so I think they're going to be in on this. We know the ownership. We've heard from the ownership wants to make a big splash. And Machado deal would certainly be it. Baltimore wants starting pitching. That's what they want in return. Mm-hmm. Young starting pitching. You know that, and they need it. We all know the Orioles need that. The reason why the Dodger deal doesn't seem to be working is that Baltimore doesn't seem to be very high on Verdugo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guy the Dodgers is trying to sell there. So maybe a Philadelphia deal does make more sense. Maybe this Milwaukee deal that was rumored makes sense. You know, so it'll be a lot of fun. And there are also a lot of conspiracy theories here. You know, that A, they're certainly not translated to the All-Star break because the All-Star game's in Washington and they want whatever. And they hate Washington. You know, so although I would think they'd want to trade him then upstage Washington, but whatever. You know, so there's that theory. And then the fact that you don't know who's making the final decision in Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, is it the GM? Is it the owner? Is it a combination? Does any of this matter? It's like dealing with the Mets, same thing. You don't know who has the authority to say, yes, deal's done. So they're a very difficult team to deal with. And I think that plays a part. Some teams just aren't going to want to wait. You know, okay, what we have to do? Oh, we don't. You got to check? When am I going to know? 5 minutes, 3 hours, 3 years, 3 days? No one knows. And some teams are going to be put off by that. You got to move on to your next thing. So that's why I don't think Machado being dealt. I mean, he should be dealt. There's no doubt he should be dealt. But I don't think it's a sure thing either. And we heard this week now that they're willing to package Britain in. What that means is that they can't get the offers they want for Britain.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that means. They're trying to go, you know, get a little bit more, but they can't, for him alone, they're not getting the offers they wanted, which is not shocking. You watch Britain, he's not pitching very well. He looks like he's still either hurt or still getting over from what the injury here. He's just not the pitcher he was last year. He's throwing hard, but his location hasn't been there. So as soon as I heard that they're willing to package him, that automatically put up a red flag for me. It meant, hey, they're not getting the offers they want for him. But the problem for Baltimore is going to be that it's very simple. They are going to want a truckload of prospects, and they're not going to get that because they waited so damn long to trade him.
Let me ask you then about another guy who's certainly rumored. He's I wonder if it's almost just it's kind of age plus what they once saw, because Fulmer is a name that's definitely being thrown out there, but he's not been all that wonderful this season. Perhaps part of that is being in Detroit. How excited could a team be about the possibility of landing Michael Fulmer? Again, you know, I'll throw it to the Yankees because they stand out in terms of a contender that needs pitching. Is that a move that can move the needle?
You know, it's funny when you teased about the pitcher you were going to name for the Yankees.
Mm.
I assumed it was Fulmer. Fulmer was one of the names I wrote down because he's been bandied about for a while now. The Yankees tried to get him during the offseason. They couldn't get a deal done. They tried to get him probably 3-4 weeks ago, and they're not the only team that was told that the price is outrageous. they're pricing Fulmer as if he's a Cy Young candidate, and he's not.
No.
You know, he's a guy who has upside, who has talent. It's not really working out in Detroit. Maybe it's because they're a bad team and he's just not quite as focused. Maybe he's not the pitcher people think he is. But it's strange for them to ask for the package they want for him. And granted, you always ask for the moon and you work down from there. But the fact that they've asked for so much has turned teams off. So they're not getting offers at all. I mean, his ERA is 4.11. WHIP is 1.27. You're pitching in a pitcher's ballpark in Detroit and the numbers still aren't that good. You forget about wins and losses. They're a terrible team. So you know he's going to have more losses than wins. But for what they're asking, you would think he's the second coming. You know, and he's not. But he's 25. He's controllable for a while. He has upside. I get it. I think we'll hear his name some more. But I think, well, for Detroit, if you're thinking it like this. Okay, well, I'll listen to the offer, see what comes back. You know, and maybe we get something we can't pass up. But, you know, we need pitching. You know, and he's 25. I mean, we can't just deal with unless we get exactly what we need here. We need someone to start for us.
Right.
So I get that they're not going to be anxious to move him because they have control of him for, I think, 3-4 more years. So I get that. You know, but once again, same thing with the Mets with their players. You listen. And if you get an offer you like, you pull the trigger. The problem is he's not DeGrom. He's not Syndergaard. You're not going to get those kind of offers.
Quickly, George, you have a home run derby prediction?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch.
My goodness, that's so perfect. I'm not going to say anything then.
I'm going to be in Vegas. I can't watch.
We come back. I think Harper wins. I think the adrenaline will get to him. We come back. We're switching over to fantasy football right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.